growing labor negotiators finally get to exhale. China's homegrown RJ makes its first flight. And 2009 could see at least two more airline mergers. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, December 3rd, 2008. Boeing will finally be able to turn its focus back on developing and building airplanes. Almost 74% of the Boeing contract ratification ballots that were sent to members of the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace were returned, and the vote was roughly 3-1 to approve two separate contracts covering the group. The old contracts had expired on Monday. SPIA says the turnout was among the highest in its history for a contract ratification vote. Both sides are spinning positive, but admit there's more work ahead. SPIA Executive Director and Chief Spokesperson Reg Goforth said, quote, "Passage of these contracts represents a first step in restoring the relationship between Boeing management and its engineering and technical workforce. We have a lot of work to breathe life into the text of these agreements, and we still need to finish negotiations in Wichita," unquote. He's referring to a contract with another 700 engineers in Kansas, for whom contract talks were delayed while the two larger SPIA contracts were settled. That smaller contract expires on Friday. From the company's perspective, Boeing's HR VP, Doug Kite, commented, quote, "These contracts reward our employees for the valuable contributions they make to Boeing's success. These agreements also enable us to remain competitive and position Boeing to continue to win new business during these challenging economic times," unquote. The labor climate has been tense for many months at Boeing, which has warned lawmakers and business leaders in Washington state that the power given unions by state law risks driving future Boeing jobs to right-to-work states in the Sun Belt. China has announced the first flight and the start of flight testing for its first domestically developed regional jet aircraft. Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China Limited, or COMAC, said the highly successful test of the ARJ-21 reached 9,000 feet November 28th, powered by its GE engines. Three additional aircraft will be added to the flight test program next year to support aircraft certification and entry into service in 2010. COMAC says it has over 200 orders for the ARJ-21 and sees a potential market for 850 aircraft over the next 20 years. The plane will look right at home on ramps worldwide. It looks a whole lot like a DC-9. At the height of Britain's power in colonial times, it was once said the sun never set on the British Empire. Well, soon the sun will never set on British Airways, assuming its merger talks with Australia's Qantas bear fruit. Responding to repeated inquiries by the Associated Press and others, BA issued a terse statement to confirm, quote, that it is exploring a potential merger with Qantas Airways Limited via a dual-listed company structure, unquote. Analyst Nick Cunningham tells CBS MarketWatch that BA once held a 25% stake in Qantas, but sold it in 2004. British Airways is also conducting ongoing talks to merge with Spain's Iberia, and both those two carriers also signed on to an alliance with American Airlines in August covering the transatlantic market. All three airlines are now awaiting antitrust approval for that agreement. Boy, what a difference 2 years in a deep recession can make. In 2006, Irish low-cost carrier Ryanair made a run at acquiring its only major domestic rival, Irish flag carrier Aer Lingus, for about 1.5 billion euro. At the time, the economy was booming, Ireland was awash in tax revenue, and government, unions, management, and shareholders of Aer Lingus all hated the deal, so it went nowhere, even though Aer Lingus was losing money. Fast forward, the Wall Street Journal reports Ireland now is sharing in the deep worldwide recession. The government is running deficits. Aer Lingus is still in the red, and Ryanair is back again. But this time, the offer is only half the amount offered 2 years ago. The unions and executives of Aer Lingus are still opposed, but this time around, despite the much lower offer, the government says it will look at the deal. The Irish government owns about a quarter of Aer Lingus, and its position could make or break the deal. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary is telling both opponents and regulators that economic upheaval and continuing consolidation in Europe's airline industry leave no chance for Aer Lingus to remain viable on its own. He also thinks he could create 1,000 new jobs over the first few years of combined operations. Ryanair has asked for a meeting with the board of Aer Lingus as soon as possible to explain its position. Up next on ANN, X-Corps picks a marketing partner for its suborbital tours. Delta warns workers staff cuts are coming. And NASA struggles to hold our attention. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 3rd. I'm Paul Platt. X-Core Aerospace, which is developing a two-seat suborbital space tourism craft, announced a partner in the venture on Tuesday. Noting that his expertise does not extend to the travel industry, X-Core CEO Jeff Grayson announced his company will partner with Rocket Ship Tours, a new company founded and led by Jules Klar. Klar has a long track record as a successful travel promoter. Quote, "Years ago, my dream was to introduce the world to new travel opportunities at prices that were consistent with a unique experience. In 1961, I created $5-a-day tours in partnership with Arthur Frommer that enabled thousands of Americans to see Europe at affordable prices," unquote. In more recent years, Klar's has operated Great American Travel based in Phoenix, specializing in luxury cruises and tours, including some to destinations as exotic as Antarctica. He views his new venture as a natural progression. Quote, "The natural evolution of human exploration knows no bounds. Rocket Ship Tours and X-Core have come together to usher in the private sector's role in space exploration," unquote. The cost of the Lynx flight experience will be $95,000. Candidates will be evaluated for fitness and trained for the flights during a five-day stay at a luxury suite hotel. X-Core chief test pilot and three-time space shuttle pilot and commander Rick Searfoss said the Lynx will carry people or payloads to the edge of space up to four times a day. Unlike competitors who plan to fly vehicles with separate passenger compartments, the Lynx carries only one passenger, seated next to the pilot, with a panoramic view and a DVD of the flight to take home when it's over. The company also presented a giant ceremonial ticket to the first paying commercial passenger, Danish investment banker and adventurer Per Wimmer. Quote, "My goal is to place the Dannebrog, the Danish flag, on the moon one day. Flying to the edge of space aboard the Lynx will make me the first Dane to experience suborbital spaceflight and takes me one step closer to my ultimate goal," unquote. Grayson declined to set a hard schedule for the remaining development of the vehicle, but said the goal is to make the commercial debut with Wimmer's flight sometime in 2011. Today and tomorrow, on one of our other daily Aerocasts, the Aero News special feature, you'll hear the announcement from Jeff Grayson, details on the Rocket Ship Tour's business plan from Jules Klar, an explanation from Per Wimmer of his decision to buy the first ticket, and details on the Lynx flight experience from pilot Rick Searfoss. All the attention focused on yesterday's announcement by X-Core served to highlight NASA's public awareness issue. After well over 100 space shuttle missions and the 10th anniversary of the International Space Station, the American public seems to have once again grown complacent about the space program. NASA has noticed that unless malfunctioning space toilets or $100,000 tool bags lost in space make the late-night comedy cut, the public just isn't paying any attention. The agency may be trying a new approach to accentuate the positive. ABC reported that on the front of the crew's daily planning package for Day 14 of the recent Endeavour mission, there was a parody of a question list reflecting what the astronauts might actually be thinking when asked these questions by reporters. Among the Q&A on the list, question, "What is it like being in space?" Answer, "No fresh air, no beer, no TV, no sex, and no shoes." Try that for 2 weeks sometime. Question, "How does the urine processor work?" Answer, it doesn't. Question, what will you do on Thanksgiving? Answer, same as every other day. Lose stuff, look for stuff, and take pictures of stuff. Oh, and use a lot of duct tape. Question, what on earth can the spacewalks be compared with? Answer, like fixing your roof at night while wearing diapers, ski clothes, and scuba gear over your pajamas. Those are pretty funny, but I'd have one suggestion for NASA. If you want to turn public perception around, don't mention the diaper thing again, ever. Citing the familiar global economic recession and weaker demand for air travel, Delta Airlines management confirmed to its workers yesterday that the newly merged carrier will be reducing flights and cutting system-wide capacity at both Delta and Northwest. CEO Richard Anderson and President Ed Bastian said the 2009 domestic capacity will be down 8 to 10%, international capacity down 3 to 5% year to year. Those numbers include previously announced 2008 capacity reductions. The memo to employees says Delta will seek to diversify its business through the various regions of the world to reduce localized economic fluctuations and adapt to a rapidly changing global economy to better align supply with demand. Bastian and Anderson stressed to employees the capacity cuts are necessary, quote, to secure your careers and return us to sustained profitability, unquote. The memo says Delta will offer voluntary separation programs and continue to make decisions that, quote, are in the long-term interest of our colleagues, customers, shareholders, and the communities we serve, unquote. Officials at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport last week opened the first southeastern segment of the new perimeter taxiway, and they're keeping their fingers crossed it makes a meaningful difference. With seven runways, DFW scores fourth worst for taxi time in numbers from the DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics. The perimeter taxiway will provide options to taxi farther but faster because there aren't as many stops. It's also hoped the outer loop will reduce the number of runway incursions. American Airlines, which is based at DFW and the airport's largest tenant, isn't sure it'll work. Airline spokesman Tim Wagner tells the Dallas Morning News, quote, if it helps decrease incursions, we're pleased with it, unquote, but adds the airline estimates its overall taxi times may actually increase slightly due to added distances. The FAA is a believer in perimeter taxiways, noting similar programs have paid off at Boston's Logan International and Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson. Still ahead, GM and Ford will get rid of their remaining business aircraft. Lockheed gets all up in the grill of the Air Force over F-22 cuts. And Boeing inches closer to perfecting laser-based ballistic missile defense. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. Executives at Ford Motor Company and General Motors have finally announced they'll sell off their business jet fleets. ABC News reports that announcement comes as GM's CEO Rick Wagoner, Chrysler Chief Robert Nardelli, and Ford CEO Alan Mulally prepare for another tin cup mission to Congress. Since the embarrassment of being grilled over using three private jets from the same Detroit airport at about the same time to travel to face Congress last time, both Ford and GM had already announced reductions in their fleet sizes. Now they'll be gone completely, along with a large General Motors Air Transportation Services presence at Detroit Metro Airport. Chrysler doesn't have its own dedicated jet operation and said yesterday it's weighing its options for future corporate travel using leased business aircraft. If you're a U.S. defense contractor, it probably doesn't pay to tick off Uncle Sam. Then again, where else is he going to shop? Lockheed Martin is the world's largest defense contractor, but its F-22 Raptor program is caught in a political squeeze among the U.S. Air Force, which started in 1994 with plans to buy 750 of the stealthy aircraft, Pentagon brass, who now say only 183 of the planes are justified, and an incoming Obama administration that based its campaign in part on pledges to cut defense spending. During the transition period, the Air Force is committed to buy only 4 planes in fiscal 2009, while its contract requires the purchase of at least 20. Now, Bloomberg reports that if less than 20 planes are ordered in the current fiscal year, Lockheed will invoke a penalty clause in the current procurement contract, which obligates the Air Force to pay $147 million to terminate production. John Young, Undersecretary for Acquisition at the Air Force, says he's surprised and dismayed that Lockheed would try to enforce the fine print in the 2006 contract. In a simile which sounds ironic coming from a military guy, he says, quote, "It's kind of sort of holding a small gun to somebody's head, saying if you don't buy more, you'll have to pay us extra. And that is inconsistent with best business practices," unquote. The $147 million would be little more than a nuisance for the Air Force in the overall scheme of things. If only 4 Raptors are ordered, dropping the remaining 16 on the contract saves the Pentagon budget over $2 billion. There's also the matter of collection costs. Young predicts the company will probably file a request for adjustment, quote, saying, "You owe us $147 million, and the government will say we do not owe you anything," unquote. Lockheed has declined comments on Young's remarks. Boeing joined with industry partners and the U.S. Missile Defense Agency last week at Edwards Air Force Base for a successful test firing of a high-energy laser through the Airborne Laser's Beam Control Fire Control System. The successful firing marked the first ground test of the entire weapon system integrated aboard the aircraft. Scott Fancher, who is VP and GM of Boeing Missile Defense Systems, says the successful test keeps ABL, quote, "on the track to conduct the missile shootdown demonstration planned for next year," unquote. Boeing VP and ABL Program Director Michael Rinn said the next step is a series of longer duration laser firings through the control system. ABL's targeting system has already been successfully tested in flight. ABL is designed to allow speed of light destruction of all classes of ballistic missiles during their boost phase of flight. The aircraft used is a modified 747. The back half holds the high-energy laser designed and built by Northrop Grumman. The front half contains the beam control fire control system developed by Lockheed Martin and the battle management system provided by Boeing. And finally, this time of the year always brings gift suggestions for the man who has everything. Or maybe for his ex-wife who now has half of everything. Either way, there's an auction on eBay right now that should grab the attention of anyone shopping for an aircraft collector or historian. Molt Taylor's third aero car, of only 6 ever built, is listed with a buy-it-now price of $3.5 million. N103 Delta is aero car model 1, serial number 2. It was built in 1956, sports a 160-horsepower Lycoming engine with 1,103 hours total time, and just 22 hours since major overhaul. Its last annual was in July of 1976, and its last flight was in 1977. It's been in storage for the 31 years since, and looks to be in great shape, complete with dual instrumentation and a vintage Narco Super Homer radio. Taylor began development in 1946, and made his first flight in 1949. The car had wings and a tail which detached to form their own trailer. While the car was a media darling and became the only vehicle ever certified for both highway use and flight, there were never enough orders to actually justify production. Of the 6 aero cars built, only one remains in airworthy condition. Most of the others have become museum pieces. If you've had a better year than most of us, maybe you could fly the second airworthy sky car in 2009. The eBay auction ends December 16th. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, X-Corp founder and CEO Jeff Grayson will introduce Rocket Ship Tours and its CEO, Jules Klar. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.